Hello and welcome to the Paddle School Podcast. Your host and paddle coach Sandy here. Each episode I will share with you my paddle coaching experience, bringing you top tips, latest news from around the world, and interviewing some of the leaders in the industry, and all to help you play your best paddle. So let's not waste any more time, get comfortable and enjoy the episode.
Sandy, we are back on the podcast couch. This is episode number...
Okay, you put me on the spot there. I don't know what number it is. Oh. This is theoretically in our season. We must be around 40 to 50, yeah. I would say.
How many podcasts, you know, sort of say around the,
I know.
The 50 mark? Well,
all of these podcasts, they say, here's episode 721.
Yeah. Should we put a number on it just for...
Yeah, let's just say this is, if I had a complete stab in the dark, I would say that this is 45, episode 45.
Right, we're on episode 45, and it's a pleasure.
And we'll correct that in the show notes, if it's wrong.
Yeah, we'll double check. So this is episode 45, and today we want to chat about a topic that comes up amongst loads of players that we work with, and that is how to become a good paddle competitor.
Yes, yeah. How to compete, and how to compete at all levels. So we get, you know, newer players to the game that are just starting out, and they're starting their competition in local tournaments, or maybe they're trying to build themselves up to their first tournament, right the way through to all of those players that are playing regularly with their friends, and they enter club competitions and they play matches every weekend, all the way up to competing for national team and pros. You know, we'll discuss you know, what it's like and how the pros compete as well.
So before we get into that, I think it's probably worth sort of going through our own experience, our own background in competing, because that shapes a lot of, you know, how we work with players and, you know, our own perception of what makes a good paddle competitor. So do you want to kick off? I mean, you know, your background was in tennis like me. You competed a lot when you were younger. You kind of went through juniors through to college. Like, what was your perception of competing, you know, looking back?
Yeah, I think looking back, if I look at my tennis days as a junior, I played a lot of competitions as a junior, focused around improving my rating and improving my ranking in the UK, and you know, the way the federation is set up in the UK, or it definitely used to be, and I know it's still like this to this day, is that, you know, a lot of the funding that you would receive or training you'd have access to would be based around your ranking and your rating. And so I remember, you know, poor parents, but traveling up and down the country, playing in tournaments, trying to get ranking points so that, you know, we could make that group and get that funding and be in the quote unquote inner circle. And obviously you'll talk about your tennis, but you were in that inner circle almost without really having to try, in a way. I mean, your level was just so high that you were always in that, whereas I was kind of on the edge of that. You know, I was always ranked around 6 to 8 in the country, and or on the verge there. I'd always be making the quarterfinals of our nationals, but it was usually, you know, the top 8 or so that were picked. And so there was a lot of pressure I felt as a junior to try and make that ranking. And then I went to college, which was one of my favourite tennis experiences, and I think that's where I really learned to compete. I mean, we played week in, week out, matches, and loads of pressure situations. I mean, there's no pressure situation, I don't think, like, you know, having a team of 8, travelling to your conferences or your tournaments, and it going, you know, 3 matches all, 3 rubbers all, and you are playing the deciding match to win, and essentially either win your conference or stay up in your conference or anything like that. And so I did, you know, 4 years of playing that, and really, if I look back now, that is what gave me a really good foundation to compete, because there was not really time to dwell on losses or get upset about, you know, certain ways of competing, because you'd finish your match, whether you won or lost, you could, you know, commiserate your loss, celebrate your victory, and then, you know, the next day you're playing another tournament, another match, and you just had to be able to reset. And I thought it was a fantastic experience. I absolutely loved it. And then following that, I played on the tour for a little bit, where you travel. You know what that's like. You're traveling on your own, tournament to airport to hotel. It was, I mean, it was miserable. I mean, it's a very lonely life, that. Like,
don't steal my part.
Yeah, don't steal your tennis career. But you know, so many people watch tennis and they see the glamorous side, and they don't realise that, you know, the majority of that, most people can't afford to be traveling with, you know, an entourage of physios and coaches and, you know, and so, you know, I remember going and playing a tennis tournament in Istanbul, and it was at the time of when they had these satellites, so they were like three or four futures in a row. I went on my own and I stayed in this hostel and I was playing this tournament. I remember in like part of Istanbul, like a bomb went off while I was in like my hotel room, and then I had to get up for like to book my practice court in the morning, and it was just really,
that just sounds like a regular tournament.
Well,
on the tour,
it's funny because you and I joke about it, but people don't realize like that it is such a lonely life.
Yeah,
you know, you lose your match, you've spent either your money or your parents' money or something to get you there, so you're like, that first match, you're like, I have to win this to make this worth it. And then when you lose, you come off the court and there's no one there to be like, you know, pick you up. You essentially go back to the hotel, you pack your bag, you book your next outward flight, and you go and wait at the airport, wait at the hotel until your flight. And it's just...
But it's very different to college tennis. I'm just thinking your progression was from juniors, where you were playing on your own, then you went to college, and I think you perform a lot better in that team environment, don't you? Or you feed off that energy, and then when you go back to the tour, you're back on your own. You know, we talk about competition. I mean, like, briefly, my background is, you know, like you said, I came through the juniors with tennis, and, you know, I played a high level kind of in the world of juniors, got to about top 60 in the world for tennis for juniors, won the junior Wimbledon, and sort of played along that, you know, those kind of circuits, and then went into seniors. You coached me on the tour there, went round playing the futures. It is a super lonely life. I have a real respect for people that have gone through that, because it's a real hard grind. You know, all the people that have kind of, you know, been a kind of a star from the age of 16 and gone straight to the top, and, you know, they're kind of making millions and they've got their entourage. I mean, yes, that's an incredible achievement, but having been through the lower levels and competing day in, day out in that environment, and still turning up and still picking yourself up, like, for me, that is just incredible. You know,
I think also so much of this, sorry to interrupt, but so much of this as well is like understanding like oneself. And you know, I look back at that now, that experience, like traveling on the tour and things like that. And it was great to have the team environment with the college, but traveling on the tour and doing that, it really teaches you to be independent. And really, there's a kind of steely side to being a competitor. And I know that now, like when we compete, you know, for Great Britain or when we go and play these tournaments now, and there's very talented paddle players that are in these competitions, young guys that are, you know, relatively fresh to paddle, I know that, like, I'm drawing on a reserve of competition that they just don't have. You know, like, they've not gone and played hundreds of matches, faced it on their own and dealt with that. And that's why I think a lot of good tennis competitors, when they come to paddle and they know how to compete, you know, they once they get and understand the paddle, they will be very dangerous paddle competitors, because, you know, there's just a way of resetting and not letting things affect you. And you know, it's not, it's almost being able to control your emotions in pressure situations, and you know, we're talking paddle, but I think all walks of life and business and everything. I mean, you know, look, we're obviously building the paddle school, you know, as a business, and you know, there are constant knockbacks that you just got to not let it phase you and just keep pushing forward. So I think, I think understanding competition and understanding how you as a person can deal with competition is important.
And I think going back to, I mean, that's our background, and I agree with that. I think having those matches, putting yourself in those pressured situations does kind of harden you, and you know, it's a skill. You know, competing is a skill like anything else. So going back to competing in paddle, and for even for recreational players listening, to become a good paddle competitor, that's a bit of a history of why we have a certain perception of it. But what do you think makes a good paddle competitor? And you know, maybe there's paddle players listening to this that maybe they haven't competed much before, but they found paddle, they picked it up, and they love the sport, and now they're competing in it, but they want to get better at competing. So what can they do, you know, to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing, and if we think about how we compete now, is we enjoy competing.
Yeah.
You know, if a match goes a set all and it's 3-all or 4-all, we're enjoying that. We like that, you know, like, and we, I mean, I can't say I've always liked that. Like, as a junior, I didn't like that. I used to feel that pressure. I used to get stressed. And, you know, even initially in college, I used to feel that tension, that pressure. But if you can enjoy those moments, if you can enjoy competing, no matter how tight it gets, or, you know, how competitive your opponents are, then it means you're more likely to succeed as a competitor, I think. And also, it's understanding that you aren't going to necessarily initially enjoy it. You know, I know a lot of players, we coach a lot of paddle players that are just entering their first competitions, or they've, you know, they're building the confidence up to do that, and they're really nervous, and they don't want to let themselves down or let their partner down. And so it's like, how can you do that? You know, how can you still enjoy those moments when you're slightly nervous? And I think that, like, I know we're talking about the entry kind of phase of competition here, but if you can enjoy your competition when you're starting out, or when you're, you know, playing your matches, or you've got an upcoming match, then that's half the battle, I think. I think, you know, that will help you deal with competition in a better way.
So before we carry on this conversation, let's have a quick break and hear from some of our members.
So I'm quite new to paddle, started back in January time, and been very lucky to have Sandy and Tom from the paddle school visiting Epsom Tennis Club. But what has been really key, I think, is having those lessons along with then following up online and watching the paddle school videos, which are really informative and break everything down. So all I would say is take up the sport and tune into the paddle school, because they are absolutely brilliant.
I wanted to share my experience with the paddle school and Sandy. I started training with them 8-9 months ago, and my progression has been absolutely staggering. I started with the online courses, match analysis, one-on-ones with Sandy. My progress has been absolutely phenomenal. So I really recommend, if you're committed to your paddle, if you really want to turbo boost your progress, the paddle school and Sandy are the way to go.
It's super interesting, though, because I think you were talking about your junior days, and you were going around playing for ratings and playing essentially for an outcome. You were really just competing to get a rating. Whereas now, you know, you would say you're not competing for anything, just for the pure enjoyment of competing. And I think it's a really interesting point, because when I was playing tennis, when you compete a lot, you realise quite early on that if you're only competing for an outcome, it's not fulfilling, because, you know, once, let's take the rating, for example, or ranking or whatever, once you get to a certain ranking, you think, oh, once I get there, you know, that's my goal. But then you get there, and then there's always another ranking, or there's always, you know, even if you look at professional sport. You know, you get to number one in the world, then it's like, now how long can you stay at number one in the world? You know, there's always something else once you get there that, you know, essentially you're pushing towards. And so I think having that enjoyment in the journey and in the process of it is so important with competing, because if you're only playing to, I'm competing because I want to win this or to win that, that's great. Like, not to say don't have that, but you also have to enjoy the ups and downs and the journey and how competing really is helping you improve, like challenging yourself, learning more about yourself. Like, there's so many things that competing does rather than just thinking I'm doing it for an outcome.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I think it's particularly for me as well, having gone through that competition like as a junior, and then having you 8 years younger go through that competition and watching the way you compete and remembering my junior, and also, you know, my daughter's three, so I'm not worried about competing now, but I know that I will encourage her to compete in sport the way that you competed in sport. Mm. And I remember you as a junior, like, just completely fearless. Like, you didn't care. You didn't care. You wanted to win, and you'd get frustrated if you lost. But it was just like, you went out there, and it looked like on court there was not even a flicker of thought as to the repercussions should you lose. I mean, I remember you going and playing tournaments, and there's a kind of tournament that, it's quite a big tournament in the UK, and you made it through to the final, and then got, you know, and then suddenly in the final you just decided at age, what were you, like 10 or 11, that you're going to serve volley the whole game for absolutely no reason. You just thought, I'll give that a go, and ended up losing, as any 10 or 11 year old would if they're serve volleying. And but there was no, like, it was just like, I could never have done that as a junior, because I was so focused on the result, on the outcome. And, you know, when I go through, and I'm not saying that, you know, my daughter necessarily will be playing tennis or paddle, or I don't care if they do or don't, but I want them to enjoy competing in sport, and it will always be around process, around enjoying the game, playing it to the best of your ability, and experimenting and trying to improve your game. Because, you know, whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter in the long run, really. You know, and this is something that, you know, comes with playing lots of matches and lots of competition. And these are our, you know, this is in a way what we say to our beginners or our new players is like, right, just compete, enjoy it, go for it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? The absolute worst is you don't have a great day of paddle, as in you make mistakes and you lose. So what? Like, tomorrow's still coming. Like, you know, that you're going to if you enter another competition the next week, you forget about your losses so quickly once you start playing and competing, that it's, you know, that there's almost, you've got to have that, you know, attitude of, you know, right, let's just go in, give it my all. If I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. But I want to, you know, I want to learn, you know, because That at the end of the day, if you can come out of your tournament or your match and say, right, you know, from this, I thought this was really good. And this is reflection. And this is what we do with a lot of our students. We reflect and we say, this worked really well. This we need to improve, and we'll improve it, ready for the next competition. And the next time you'll go and you'll play better. I mean, if you go and, you know, you lose and you throw a tantrum and you break your rackets and you go home and you sulk and you don't reflect, then it's a complete waste. But if you can reflect on that and come out with something positive, then every match is positive. I mean, the losing actually in some ways can teach you more than the winning.
Yeah, way more. Mm. I mean, I think if you, what's the expression? You know, like, you win the match or you learn from it. Mm. You know, if you win the match, you typically don't sort of reflect on it as much, do you? You sort of think, right, well, like we said earlier, you on to the next one, when, you know, on to the next match. Whereas when you lose, you do take a bit of time. I think the interesting thing with what you're talking about, again, it's like weaving this whole process in. It's the controllables versus the uncontrollables. If you go in thinking, right, I'm only really competing because I want to win, you can't control the outcome of that match. And that's usually why players end up having a tantrum or getting upset. But if you go in and say, look, you know, my goal here is to, you know, one, enjoy it, you know, two, work on the things that, you know, I've been working on with my coach, you know, Three, you know, have a good work, you know, have a good workout, you know, enjoy playing with my partner. And four, you know, I want to win. If you, you know, if you can have those four goals going in, okay, maybe if you lose, that's one of the goals, you know, perhaps you didn't achieve, but I did have fun, you know, I did have a good workout and I worked on those different things. You come away positive and you want to compete again. So I think this idea of process and, you know, not fixating on the outcome is such a big part for paddle players to become good competitors, even though it might seem a bit counterintuitive, because you'd say, well, isn't a good competitor someone that, you know, wins more than a bad competitor? But I actually think it's a mindset thing. Good paddle competitors have a growth mindset or a process mindset that makes their perception of competing, it's different.
And I think you know exactly what you said. I think that there's one more element when you think about paddle compared to, you know, we're talking tennis, primarily singles.
Yeah.
I mean, paddle is doubles as well. So, you know, you're not just competing for your own, you know, mindset or your own performance. You know, in a tennis match, if you go on at singles and you throw a tantrum or you get upset and you lose the match, well, that's all on you.
Yeah,
but
if
you do that in doubles, then you've let your partner down. And I think there's a very, you know, mental side that particularly for players, you know, entering competition or relatively early in their paddle journey, about letting their partner down and letting themselves down, letting their partner down, putting pressure on themselves. I mean, if you go in to just say, look, I'm going to play my best match, no partner is ever intentionally losing you a match, you know? So it's one of those, you've got to be just conscious that your actions are going to affect your partner. And so many times we have this discussion with players and they say, well, I'm just frustrated at myself. Well, that doesn't help, because your partner doesn't know that. And even if you say to them, oh, I'm just frustrated at myself, and then you go on to be frustrated on the court, that will inevitably affect the way that your partner plays. It can't not affect it. Whether your partner is feeling that, you know, actually they're a part of that frustration as well, or they, you know, then have to overcompensate because you're frustrated, it just doesn't help. So I think a really, really key thing to competing is being a good partner, and also like understanding how you can play to support and get the best from your partner. And I think that's something particularly for me now, as I kind of am, let's say, in the British team, one of the more experienced players, one of the one that's had more competition. Now I'm that partner that picks up the other player on the court, and it's so important to be able to do that, you know, so that you bring the best out of your partner. If you bring the best out of your partner, it normally means that also you will play well, and it also means that as a pair you generally will play your best. And so that's another kind of element of competition that you've got to just be aware of. It's not only you on the court, you're there with your partner, you need both of you to play well. If you enjoy it, likely your partner will enjoy it, and likely you'll both play well.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? You're so right as well, and it is different to tennis. You know, it is a joint sport. And I think, you know, for people listening, an exercise they can do, you know, really, really quickly, is almost just, you know, have a think to themselves of why am I competing? You know, I think people just assume, they're like, you know, I'm going to enter this, you know, but why are you competing? And actually, when you start boiling down, you know, you might find actually a big part is enjoyment, but you don't actually think about that when you go into your next tournament. So being a good paddle competitor, how would you sum it up in a sentence?
In a sentence,
yeah.
Wow.
Put you on the spot again, haven't I?
I think being a good competitor in paddle is understanding that there are going to be different outcomes in a match. You may win, you may lose, but giving your best for you and your partner to, you know, essentially, like, really, it's like, you know, do your best whatever happens, you know, and if you can apply that, you know, without worrying, without putting pressure on yourself or your partner, then you will compete well. And you know, we're talking here at recreational level, but the same happens at World Paddle Tour level. They're putting pressure on themselves. They should be winning this title, and they get on their partner. And you know, I think you see a partnership like LeBron and Galan, and you see one partner having a go at the other partner, and you kind of, players think that is not only acceptable, but also, you know, it helps Galan play well. But it's not the case. I mean, you know, those are both, you know, the top athletes in the sport, but generally that type of relationship does not lead to, you know, a good partnership or both players playing well. So I just think it's, you know, give it your best, focus on the process of the competition, and by process we mean, you know, working on your game, improving you know, an aspect of your paddle so that you and your partner can, you know, have a shot at playing your best paddle. I mean, that's a long sentence, but I think
few commas in there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's just some bad grammar.
No, but I'd think the same. I think for me it's, you know, I'd probably go the opposite, super short, but I'd say, you know, it's a journey. You know, your paddle is a journey, and enjoy the process. I think that would be mine, because I speak to so many ex-professional, mainly tennis players, because that was the circus I was in, but even ex-sportsmen, and you look back and think, I was so focused on the winning, so focused on achieving, that actually I probably didn't enjoy the process as much as I could have. I was so lucky to be able to have a sport that I was playing, you know, enjoy. I know it's difficult when you go through losses and the pressures, but enjoy the process, because when you look back, you'll think, actually, I probably could have enjoyed it more.
Mm, yeah, oh, definitely. And I think that about my tennis days and my earlier paddle days as well. Like, you know, it's an opportunity to enjoy the journey.
So for all you players out there, if you're looking to become better paddle competitors, hopefully there's some bits in here that will help you. And, you know, this is a theme that comes up a lot. So I think, you know, in future podcasts, we will touch on elements of this, you know, different aspects of competing, because it's such a big topic, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, look, this is why we've put such, I mean, our platform on thepaddleschool.com, this is why we put such emphasis on the mental side of the game. I mean, we've got, you know, our courses for the mental side. And so, and we're getting, you know, experts in performance psychology to be involved in our content, and to, because it is so important. And I think if you can enjoy competing and you enjoy improving your game, then that's exactly, you know, exactly what we're looking for, and exactly what we're trying to help you with.
Yeah, and we will be back on the Paddle School podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
just giving it a title.
I like that.
Ready for episode, what was it? 46
now.
46.
Again, okay. Correction will be made in the show notes.
Yeah. But we'll see you on the next podcast.